Let's do two things. Talk about what do you want to continue in the fall, what do you want to do. We have three more scheduled in May meetings. I'm 90% sure we won't need any more than those. We might not even need all three. So we will be done with this by May. The question is, if you want to meet in the fall, what do you want to do? Possibilities, I showed you last time, The Living Symbol. It's a case study of a woman by Gerhard Adler, who is one of the originals. It's a happy story. I talked about In Dreams and Death, which is von Font's study of dreams of people right before their death. I came across a manuscript by von Franz, but I'm not sure it's that interesting in terms of enjoyable material. It's important material, but whether it would be enjoyable. She interpreted visions of Brother Klaus. Brother Klaus is a Swiss saint who was a shoemaker, and a vision of God. And at the age of 50 or 45, he left his family and built a hut and worked on his visions the rest of his life. And he is the saint, patron saint of Switzerland, and his home is still there, and the paintings he painted in his little hut are still there. Another one, which I just saw my bookshelf literally on the way out the door, and I thought, that might be interesting, is a book by John Layard. I don't know if you know Layard. He's one of my heroes. He was one of the early guys with Jung. He was a Oxford anthropologist, and his work on the marriage rights of the South Pacific tribes is what Jung based his essay, Psychology of the Transference, on. He must have been a character. He was manic depressive, and this was in the days before lithium, you know. So you call up before an hour to see whether he was flying high or whether he could function, but I mean, you really can't hold it against the guy. We know it's chemical, but he persevered as an analyst through his manic depression, and some days he was just too whacked out to work, so he wouldn't work. Yeah, I have to admire a guy like that. He didn't hold back, but his work is wonderful. As a rule, it's wonderful. The book is called The Celtic Quest. It's a analysis of some Celtic myths. I don't know which ones. So they're what I've thought of, but I'm open for other ideas. Or voting on those ideas.
Can I ask a question about Adler's?
Yeah.
How old is the woman?
40-ish, 45, 50 maybe.
Okay, so she's going into her second.
Yeah, she's a headmistress of the school. And what's so nice about it, it has dreams, she has paintings, and she does active imagination. So you really get to see all three modes. And it's Adler was very down to earth. It's not nearly as frilly as this or Jung. It's much more down to earth. And that might even be a little criticism of it. It's very, I don't want to say bare bones, but it's plain spoken. It's very plain spoken, but it's big. I mean, it's a big.
Yeah.
And it's a positive outcome.
Yeah, I like that. And I like the dreams and death.
Any other thoughts?
The Celtic one is sounded interesting.
Celtic? Uh-huh. Not dreams and death.
That's scary. Yeah.
It is scary,
I'm
yeah.
I'm afraid of it either.
I want to explore that. I'm heading in that direction.
You know what's really fascinating is how many, Freud ended up doing his Thanatos, and at the very end of his life, now Marian Woodman is buried with a death letter. That's what she's lecturing on a lot these days. It's almost like they get to the end, and then there's a whole death piece that starts showing up.
Well, it's a crossing over.
Yeah,
I'm sure of that. It's a you're getting on a train. And you might as well.
The interesting thing is, at least most dreams I've heard, they really don't speak to death.
They do not speak of death. Another way, another form of life.
Which I think is really something we all need to, or I need to focus on. I think that's the exciting part.
You want to keep thinking about it, or?
How big is that book?
Which?
Death one.
It's not big. 200 pages maybe.
And who
wrote it? Von Franz.
And who wrote the Celtic? Is it called the Celtic?
John Leo. It's called
Celtic Quest?
The Celtic Quest. Layard.
Do you know that? No, I hear just...
I haven't read it, so I can't... I can look at it and tell you what I think. I just, on the way out the door, I literally saw it in my bookcase, and I thought, that might be interesting.
Well, one of the things I was just telling Kathy is I'm doing Celtic mythology in my dissertation, so there's been a lot of Celtic mythology, and it's interesting, we're so immersed in Greek.
Yeah.
And yet there's so much Celtic in our world that we don't see because we don't have a familiarity with it.
Yeah.
And they are so close to nature.
Right.
In fact, their Christian tradition never really left that. They
right.
They still have a very natural component.
Right.
So, you know, that intrigues me, but that's...
Well, they put an end to the Christian religion, I think. It was the Celtic myth. Saw to it, but... Christian religion had that natural.
Yes, it did. Exactly.
Well, and it's the Celtic to the Grail to Christianity. Mm-hmm. There's that link too.
The other thing that interests me is doing some more work with the Yunnan alchemy. And I don't know how we would do this, but I'm intrigued by how it's showing up in modern images, film, painting. I mean, I don't know if there's a way to. Read some of the actual writing.
Well, we have never done his two other volumes on alchemy, Alchemical Studies, and I forgot his volume 12 and 13. One's Alchemical Studies,
Psychology
of Alchemy.
In fact, that's the book you have here, right? Isn't that one of the images came out of Psychology?
Oh, it is, as a matter of fact, yes. It's hard. It is hard. I just got to tell you. It is really, if you think this is heavy, wait till you get to this stuff. It is dense. You know, what's interesting, you get one of the large essays, and this one is on Pally's earlier material.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So, I try it. How do you want to be? You want to keep thinking on it? Do we have a general inkling of what we do and don't want? We need to fine tune. What are you feeling?
Why don't you see what really, really grabs you?
I would be happy with any of these. For me, probably the living symbol. Simply because I don't think a person in my seat can get enough of case studies. It's just really important.
The living symbol is the
Abba book. But anything that we have discussed, I would be able to throw myself into.
Is that the decision that we settled mind and might get confused?
No.
At least me.
It's like Jung without the frills.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Could we do Adler and then James and Jeff? Would those take 2 semesters, 1 semester?
Adler might take at least a whole year.
Okay.
It's what, have you gotten it yet? It's about 400 pages?
It's as big as some of those collective works.
Yeah.
Volumes. It's about that size.
It's about this size. It's good size, yeah. But it's not as difficult. It's linear. That's his weakness and strength. You know, I mean, Adler really, he just has a different method. And it's not that he cuts out anything. It's just Jung makes no attempt to be linear,
yeah. great.
Which I love, but it drives people crazy.
I think the only one I personally wouldn't want to do is the alchemy one, but that doesn't mean if there's anyone else supposed to do it, that's fine.
Well, I'm withdrawing my recommendation.
No, after what Gary said about it being that, I mean, why suffer if you
get
another source?
A good source would be Anatomy of the Psyche. We've done that with some other people here. Everyone?
Have you done Anatomy of the Psyche?
Yeah, is anyone?
I didn't do it with you. I've done it before, but I
didn't understand it. Who I see? Sandy, she hasn't done it. We did that in our Saturday. Who's in the Saturday? Is there any overlap with the Saturday? No, I guess not. I bet you did do it. I bet we did it ages ago.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't mind repeating it.
You wouldn't mind repeating it? That's a good book, too.
What is that about?
It's condensed alchemy.
Edinger?
It's Edinger. Mm-hmm. Sandy, Eileen has done. Eileen would have done an added. No, would she? No, because we did it. I think she was in my Saturday group. We did an Amnesia Psyche. But maybe not. Maybe she wasn't in it. I remember. Well, that's a possibility.
And that's broader than alchemy, isn't it?
It's organized alchemy.
Organized alchemy. Well, I'm wondering if that's the way we could do that and tie it in with some more imagery.
Yeah.
Or we could amplify it by. I'm so intrigued by how films are starting to show imagery.
How is it working as strength from this light?
It's like Mysterium light.
Oh, okay. Because I love Mysterium, but I'm not ready to do that again.
Yeah, that's masochistic.
Is there another editor book that you haven't done that you'd like to do? Why haven't
you done them all? All the ones that you can do that are difficult enough to... Well, you want to keep sleeping on it? It won't take any more time, but there are the options. And
Why don't you look into that one?
I'll look into Celtic Quest. I'll look into the Celtic Quest.
That's kind of intriguing, I think.
But I could bring them all next time. No,
that
wouldn't help. Okay. Well, will anyone see Eileen? We'll see Eileen.
We'll see her Saturday.
Oh, we'll see her Saturday. We can ask her Saturday about if she's done anatomy or not. She'd be the only, and Sandy, how she would feel about it. I mean, I'm pretty sure she's done it.
Is the
Yeah, what's her name?
Helen Luke.
Helen Luke.
Yeah.
Dark
Rose,
Dark Wood,
yeah.
And White Rose.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. That's a possibility. Reading that.
I just realized, you talk about it, that when I read it in high school, I didn't get any take out of it.
Yeah.
I've always thought there was something really heavy there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is, yeah.
Well,
you
try to take
that
TPS from
right down.
Why don't you do that? Write your first and second choice, and then what you would not want to do, and then bring it next time.
Well, can we write them down again? 1, 2, 3 again.
Okay. Celtic Quest. I'm going to write them down too. Celtic Quest, Anatomy of the Psyche.
That jumped all the way over here.
Oh, did it? Yeah, my leg back, please. Thank you. Anatomy of the Psyche. Anatomy of the Psyche is that endure. Celtic Quest is Layard.
How do you spell that?
What's that?
Layard.
Layard. He wrote The Stone Men of Malekula, which is just beautiful.
And then the living symbol, who wrote that?
Adler.
What's the death book?
Dreams and Death on Dreams and Death. That's von Franz. Psychology and Alchemy.
Well, I'm withdrawing that.
Okay.
Psychology
and Alchemy.
And Alchemy. That's
what did I say? Is that it? Helen Luke on Dante. I'll check that and see how that looks. We could read the original and read hers both together. I would. I mean, we wouldn't have to, but I would. Yeah, it's a lovely poem. Anything else? Is that it? I think there was one more. Is there one more? Oh, Anatomy of the Psyche. Oh, we do have that.
Oh, yeah, we got the one that's one down front.
So write down your first choice, second choice, and what you would, if there's anything you don't want to do. And who we got? See if Well, see, if Linda comes Saturday, I'll tell her. I'll tell Eileen to do it. And if anyone sees Sandy, tell her to do that. Yeah. You see her.
I can hear
her. Okay. Give her the choices and first, second choice, and least choice.
In the meantime, Gary, if something comes to you in your dream, the reason that we're struggling is because this is what we're supposed to do.
I will let you know. I did dream of Elphidius last night. I got to look that up. No idea.
You what?
I dreamt of Elphidius. He's in here, but I skipped over him. Probably should go back. I have no idea. I think he's an alchemist. Okay, you ready? Just a quick summary of the end of this book, and this chapter, I mean. Ted asked about the Son of Man. Here's what Jung makes of the Son of Man. Edinger really is the one who kind of lays it out, I think, the best. But in the vision, Ezekiel is addressed by the one on the throne as the Son of Man. And what Jung and Edinger make of that is that that is to mean that we are to be derived from the image of God. We are to be derived from, the son of, derived from, the greater pattern of our being. Now, there are a million interpretations of that. Who knows? But it's a nice idea.
Greater pattern
of our being.
Being.
You know, that the transcendental dimension is God, and that we are to incarnate that into time and space. Okay. We are to be the progeny of that larger reality.
Why does he call him Son of Man?
Of the man on the throne.
Oh, the man on the throne.
Of the man on the throne.
That's sort of like Genesis, right? I'll make you in my image.
Right. That we are to be in the image of God. Right.
I always thought that Son of Man... this must be a mistake. I always thought Son of Man refers to the idea that the self wouldn't exist without man, so with the...
I think it...
At the individuation, you're the... The self is the son of the man. Son of man.
You know? No, I think the ego is the son of the man.
Okay.
But who knows? I mean, there are so many interpretations of that. The next bit. Remember, we went from 1 to 4. I wanted to talk a little bit about what he says here, not because we need it here, I think we could have skipped this, but because we will need it in the next chapter. And so we'll have some of the next chapter under our belt in what I'm about to say. And that is Jung's model of the self in Ion. And he diagrams the development of the self as a tetrahedron. Follow my diagram. That a point starts out and becomes 4. And then those 4 become 1. It might be clearer to go like this. But he just wants to give it a three-dimensional twist. And, you know, I don't even remember what they are, but he goes through 4 of these models in the Book of Life. As a diagram of how the self transforms. And the basic idea is it starts in one form, splits up into four parts and reappears in another form. So, the practical implication of this is we know, we're not, this is nothing new, that the self shows up in images of form. But what struck him is sometimes it's four rocks. Sometimes it's four chipmunks. Sometimes it's four lakes. Sometimes it's four buildings. Sometimes it can be many different versions of four. And he tries to categorize those different images in some sort of sequential developmental pattern. So that in his model, this, I believe this is stone. And this is vegetation. I don't really think about this vegetation. And so that when the self is developing, as you become aware of who you are, you will dream of yourself as a unity, signifying the unity that you've achieved up to that point. But these things are always transitory, and as soon as you get solid with yourself on one level, you start another process of development, in which what was once unity will break up into the component parts. And so here you might have four stones or something like that, and as you then look at what you once felt as a unity, what you now realize is made up of different parts, you begin the process whereby they synthesize into another unity. So here you might get one stone, four stones, one plant. Four plants, one eagle. One eagle to four eagles, four eagles to one human being. One human being to four human beings to one angel. One angel to four angels to one diamond. Get back to a stone. The self evolves over time on different levels of consciousness, symbolized by different levels of organic or living entities, to a unity symbolized by a high-valued stone, and the whole process starts over again over the course of a lifetime.
So
it
always follows that inorganic.
Well, this is theory. I cannot confirm this. I'm not sure he could confirm it. I think what he's doing is giving us an intuition that behind all the vicissitudes, if you looked at people in general, you could see some sort of pattern. I don't think any individual ever goes through this. But yes, what you can see over people's lives is that in a certain period of life, they'll be dreaming of stones. Another period of life, they'll be dreaming of animals. Another period of life, when the four thing shows up, they'll be dreaming of people. So he's just trying to step back from all the various images he's seen of self and all the different ways it's portrayed, and try to intuit a larger pattern behind it. I don't think this applies to any single person, but it's a generalization. And it does help you when you see somebody dream of four rocks. See, a dream of four rocks isn't the same as a dream of four doves. And he's trying to then put all the various ways that the four shows up into some sort of sequence of development. That's the diamond, yeah, exactly. So that you go one multiplicity, one, and the second one isn't the same as the first one. Although the process repeats itself structurally, but with different cast of characters. So it's a helpful tool.
Because the one up there has folded together those four edges.
Right.
Edges.
Right.
Right.
Unity becomes four folded together into a higher level of synthesis as you get older. That's the point. That's why he, so remember 5 to 68 equal 1. That's why he'd offer one into the vision of Ezekiel, because as soon as you have one, you're going to have four down the road. You know, we don't see that in Pauli's text exactly, but I don't think it's untrue in the general developmental scheme.
Oh, no, I was just, but I was thinking of visions. I mean, her being visual in it, or not.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if you don't take this too literally, it is helpful to see how the nature of people's wholeness symbolism changes over the course of the first third of the book. That's the point, though. Just don't get too hung up in all the detail. Well, that's step one. As I say, you don't really need that for this chapter, because you move on to the next, so. If you're happy with that, I want to go on to the next chapter. I'm going to go on to the next point. Again, don't take this too literally. I have not seen this literally this way, but I have seen it in a way that may help you make sense. I was trying to give you an example. Now, what the other point here is, each of these unities contain the earlier unity as an analogy. I'll explain that in a second. I'm going to skip this four bit, because I have not seen it 1-4-1, second one is an analogy to the first one. But I have seen it where different states are analogies to other states. I'll give you an example. I've given you the example before. But I want to do it now in this context, and again, I'm preparing for what's coming down the line.
And Gary, are you looking at that picture? You're saying the entity, like either the one or the four states, those entities contain a previous state of entity.
As an analogy.
You said the unity, I think it's the word you
used. Unity contains. Let me give you the example, and then we'll come back and compare the two. I'm really breaking this up into two parts, just for the sake of explanation. But remember the guy who was addicted to child porn? So that would be child porn. I'll tell this before we go, so we don't come to this next class. If you remember, well, maybe I can do it this way.
Well,
you start out with a child porn, and I said, see what comes spontaneously sometime when you would normally go to porn, what comes to you. And as I told you, he can be interested in war games. So that would be the next state. I'm going to get rid of this four business. I didn't see it in his dreams before, but I think it's still alive. So we go child porn. War games. And you remember the next thing that happened was I said to him, what was it, why do you think these war games are so fascinating? And he realized what he was interested in was history. And so he began reading around in Civil War history and later, and he realized what interested him was the development of his town. And he put that, went around to the folks in the town who had addicts from generations back, and was, as a respected pastor, was given access to the addicts and put together a large show of the founding of Indiana. Pictures of the founding of Indiana. And by that time, the perversion had resolved. So, see here, child porn. The characteristic of this state, which is carried over to this state, is play. So that this state contains this state by analogy. The characteristic of this state, which is present in this state, is history. He was playing war games, and he was studying battles and enacting them with toy soldiers in a sandbox. But what carried over, which is implicit here, is history. What was left behind was the war business. Here, the play carried over, and the sex stuff was dropped. Here, the history was carried over, and the war stuff was dropped. And what was carried over here, then, to this state, was the history of this town. But it was no longer just reading the history, it was putting together an exhibit that he carried through. So each subsequent stage carried an aspect of the earlier stage in the way he was formed. Does that make sense to anybody? Now, according to Jung, probably if I had been aware, what Jung is saying is between each of these stages, you would see a split in the four and the unity. You'd see a split in the four and the unity. You'd see a split in the four and the unity. And you can see how this is a higher development than this. That's what he's trying to do. Like, as I told you, I was into a certain psychoanalytic society, at a certain theological institution, and I was told that I didn't know what I was talking about, and couldn't have been healed, because studies showed that perverts have repressed aggression, and I hadn't dealt with repressed aggression, and therefore they couldn't have been healed. I wonder why I don't like certain groups. They're not all professionals. See, it would have killed this guy. Studies show you should be doing this. That's the causal deductive approach. You have repressed aggression from your parents. In fact, the guy was healing me tonight. It didn't fit the little formula. But what we try to look at then is how a previous state is an anticipation of a later state and has within it as an analogy the form of the later state. Here was play, here was history, and again then the history carries through. But the way that history was experienced is changed from war games to reading to a display.
And you said the dreams kind of
and the dreams guided this along. Well, actually they did not. I worked with this guy, we were working with his dreams on other issues, and this really was tangential to the main work. And this was all his fantasy. But see, I take that the same as a dream. But sure enough, his dreams did follow along with this process. Let me read you Jung on this.
Again, I'm anticipating the next chapter. If I need to, I'll go slow, but see what you can get if I just read this. This is from his essay on psychic energy. The causal mechanistic view sees the sequence of facts. I'll just read it fast once, and then I'll go through it slow. Sees the sequence of facts A, B, C, D as follows. A causes B, B causes C, and so on. So they would say repressed hostility, sex perversion coming out in war fantasies. The final energetic view, which is Jung's point of view, on the other hand, sees the sequence thus. A, B, C are means towards the transformation of energy, which flows causelessly, big word, which flows causelessly from A, the improbable state, to B and C, and so on to the probable state D. That makes sense? A, B, C, D cannot be explained by causality. There's a forward movement, and each state is an attempt to formulate the final state. And the only thing wrong with it is that it is not yet final. So that the child perversion was an attempt to form in him the ability to play. And the war games was an autonomous activity within the psyche to form with him his interest in history. And his interest in history was an attempt to form in him the display of the historical founding of his town, which was his final, the final destination of that energy.
So there wasn't anything wrong with him, but there was something right with him that wasn't coming to being. And each stage is an attempt to further that being into reality. The final being that exhibit.
I don't see why you call it causal, though. I mean, it feels like one was leading into the other, would be a cause like that.
Only in the sense that the future is causing it. Past isn't causing it.
Okay. I thought you were going to say because there's synchronicity comes
in the Well, yes. Absolutely.
And that none of this stuff is, we can't force it.
Right. Right. But the big point here is how one state is an analog of the other. Does that make sense? And the bottom line here is this sentence. The spiritual principle is recognized as an equivalent counterpart of the instincts. The instincts. The spiritual principle is recognized as an equivalent counterpart of the instincts. See, the Freudian position said it was instincts that was causing this problem, his repressed anger. Our point of view says it's the spirit, it's the forward movement which is behind this process, and that is at least as strong as the instincts in determining what makes you tick. The spiritual principle is recognized as an equivalent counterpart of the instincts. This drive to make that thing happen is as strong as any instinct. Sex, aggression being the two primary.
So as the answer, what do you see as your role in this whole process?
Basically, to shut up and listen.
Let it happen.
Let it happen.
But you couldn't have been sure that it was going to happen this way.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Which I made the mistake of telling those wonderful psychoanalysts, and they just said, "Well, you see, you don't know what you're doing." Yeah. Imagine. The arrogance?
Was this a Jungian group?
Well, it was at CTS. They have a psychoanalytic group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they asked me to come and speak, and I presented this case, and they just tore it to pieces.
Oh.
I just said, thank God this guy didn't see you people. You would have killed him.
That's
yeah.
Jungian?
Yeah, so-called.
Oh, so-called, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really find this offensive. When you see the spiritual people killing the spirit. This is why I find it so offensive. This is going to be important for Pauli, because you see, his relationship with Juan Franz carries the analogy for what his work is to be. That's why we've gone into it. His relationship with Juan Franz is one of those points on that process of evolution. And in that relationship is the analogy he needs to understand to put his creative work before the public. Because she would represent the unity or the voice which articulates or tries to articulate the unity of matter and spirit. And so she is in his life as a physical human being and as an analogy for where he's going. That's what we'll be doing next chapter. And I think that's why, then, I don't know whether the author intended it, but that's the sense of why he goes into Jung's of the Ezekiel vision and then Jung's model of the self and Ion. 1 to 4 to 1, And the first one always contains, as an analogy, some hint of the shape of the second one. But you have to get there through the pieces of the four. 1-4-1, first one and second one linked by an analogy. And if you know how to read the analogy, you can help the person through the transition.
One question. Whatever happened to the three in alchemy that you've gifted before?
Well, the three would be the dynamism within that movement from 1 to 4 to 1. It'd be like the push.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I've given you ion in about 10 minutes. There's a lot more to it, but I wanted to set the stage for the next chapter.
Did they ever catch on?
No. I was so mad when I left there, I backed up into the wall and smashed my bumper.
Oh, wow. But you didn't even, what's her name?
No. She's a coward.
I am right in alchemy. I still kind of learn alchemy.
Yeah.
That you go to 3 to 4, right? That's the mystery.
Yeah, but you see, the four that you get to there would be the four that is the four you just referred to in 3 to 4. That the one that's achieved is it's a stability at the moment, but there's something missing from it, which at that particular moment in your life maybe isn't needed, but in time, that first one becomes a three. And then in the move to the four, you're letting it in something new. And then it becomes a one again.
There's still two in there, right?
Huh.
And then the four, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
So there's still, and you said it went from 1 to 3.
From 1 to 4 to 1.
Oh, okay.
1 to 4 to 1.
Okay.
Well, and the diagram he draws is like this. I think it's in our book somewhere. I'm not going to draw tetrahedrons off at all. It's like this. So it really becomes, well, can you follow that? One tetrahedron. It's really a cycle.
Oh, okay.
I've just put up one here.
And then just keep
and in a life fully lived, it keeps evolving. And I basically inorganic to plant, to animal, to human, to divine, to inorganic. Inorganic, plant, human. Plant, animal, human, divine. Inorganic. Here it's a rock inorganic, here it's a diamond inorganic. So each time a new diamond is produced. And then, but each of these one at the moment is a totality, but that totality becomes unstable because life puts new demands to you. So that one then becomes an unstable condition that has to evolve into four again. So this is the 3 to 4 that Ted was asking about. But then that four has to become a one again. Don't get too hung up on the numbers. Just be aware how unity appears, differentiates, becomes unity again. And really the big point for the next chapter is that the first unity and the second unity have an analogous link. So in you're standing in the present, you don't see where it's going, but in retrospect you can say, oh yeah, that particular mess had within it, in the way it appeared in my life, a symbol in the very reality itself. And here is now what I'm doing. Because he talks about automorphism and isomorphism, and that just means a replication of structure. So in the guy's war games was a replication of the structure of childhood. And in the History was a replication of the structure of history. For Pauli and von Franz is a structure to be replicated in his future lecturing. And I think that's, I don't know anyone else who talks like that, that the present moment contains within its own form a symbolic anticipation of the future.
What is the
essay
on psychic energy?
Volume 8. It's a great read. 1928, he wrote that. And the paragraphs I read you were 58 and 105. And he talks about the analogy in paragraph 83. I've just tried to simplify it considerably for our purposes.
That's more present within its own form contains...
the future as a symbol. So, again, with Pauli, the relationship with von Franz was not only a relationship, it was a symbol of his future work. That makes sense? That's crucial. But the symbol won't give itself up until you live out the concrete form that it has appeared in. You know, you can't skip life. Oh, yes. You see that relationship? It's a symbol for my work. I think I'll just skip the relationship and go to the symbol. You got to go through the snake. You have to eat the red cherries. And then the energy will become available to you. Did we do his world clock dream?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we can finish. We can do the world clock dream. What I'm trying to do is get through a chapter a week so we can get done by May. I think we can get through the world clock dream because I've already told you much of chapter 18. So read chapter 18, we'll pick up with the world clock dream, and you might even read ahead a little bit in chapter 19, should we get going. I think much of chapter 18 we can summarize and get through, and at least that and probably a little bit more in next week. So if we do a chapter, we can shoot for a chapter a week, we will be done by the end of May. And the only thing I would warn you, I think he completely misses the Wallenstein dream. But that's in chapter 18. So don't get, if you get lost with that, don't worry because it's wrong.
What page is that?
Which one?
Page 2 and 9.
Is it Pauli?
Our author. Wallenstein is actually, I wouldn't have gotten it, but my dear colleague David did a wonderful job on that dream. I'll bring you what he did with it. He interprets it as a historical event unknown to us, or I'm sure the author. David talked to one of Pauli's good friends about the dreams and said that what Pauli made of Wallenstein was not the historical figure, but his role in Goethe's drama. So we'll look at that's Schiller's drama. So he interprets it as a historical figure, but David interprets it from this guy's input as what he means in Schiller's drama. That's the only point. So I think he gets us a little astray. See, the word isomorphy appears, which is just replication of structure, and that this next chapter will talk about how the dreams are showing Pauli, look, you're in relationship with this woman. Now, live out its symbolic meaning as well. Okay? All right, see you in 2. And don't forget your little assignment.
Which one? The reading
of the book? The two favorites and least favorite.